Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. I am Pastor Ryan. Pastor Rod is currently on the Joy Men's Retreat, which is down at Rainbow Trail Lutheran Camp. And so we hold them in our prayers for safe travel, as well as for a time of bonding and growth and sustenance in faith as they spend this time together. I'm so grateful that you joined us this morning for our time of worship, and I'm grateful that you are a part of this community. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship together. A reminder, the third session for the class on wholeness, which focuses on the wholeness wheel put out by the ELCA, that class will be on Monday, March 15th at 7 p.m. over Zoom. A little bit of a correction from last week. I announced the First Communion class, which will be on March 13th, but I announced the wrong time. So it is March 13th, but it's from 9:30 to 11:30 that morning. Registration is required, so please see the e-news for that information. We also have fundraisers happening at this time. Reminder to get your cinnamon roll orders in by March 17th. That fundraiser supports the youth programs here at church. Pickup will be March 27th. That's a Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. We're asking for a free will offering to support the youth programs here at Joy. Also, the Joyful Mission Preschool is hosting a fundraiser. They are selling butter braids, and you're still able to get those orders in. Pickup for those orders will be Wednesday, March 24th. So two fundraisers, both really amazing, both supporting really great programs here at Joy. But you'll want to make sure that you've got the information right as far as when pickup is. You can find all of that information in our e-news. Lastly, on Saturday, March 27th, as you're picking up your cinnamon rolls from 1 to 3 p.m., we are hosting a Palms to Go event. In recognition of Palm Sunday, we want to celebrate with all of you, whether in person or in spirit. And so we're asking that as you're coming to pick up your cinnamon rolls, or even if you didn't order cinnamon rolls but you want to participate in the event, stop by the church to pick up palms, communion for all of Holy Week, as well as some great crafts and activities for the whole family as we recognize and celebrate Holy Week together. That's all the announcements I have for you today. Any more information needed about things happening at the church, please check our church website, as well as really take a good look at the e-news. Let us begin our time of worship this morning by sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us greet one another and those who are gathered, whether with us or in spirit, with a sign of God's peace. We turn now to our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. So let us return to the one who is full of compassion, confessing our sin before God and one another. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy, and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, our sins are forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Together, let us journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. We join in singing our opening hymn this morning.
Of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for God who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Hear thy praises gladly chanted. Here thy seed is duly sworn. Let my soul where it is planted bring forth precious sheaves alone, so that all I hear may be fruitful unto life in me. Thou, my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoe'er temptations thicken, may thy word still o'er me shine. As my guiding star through life, as my comfort in all strife.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue this morning with our lessons.
The first reading is from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. After escaping from slavery, the Israelites come to Mount Sinai, where God teaches them how to live in community. The Ten Commandments proclaim that God alone is worthy of worship. Flowing from God, the life of the community flourishes when based on honesty, trust, fidelity, and respect for life, family, and property. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Today's responsive psalm is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's verses 18 through 25. The word of the cross is pure foolishness and nonsense to the world because it claims that God is mostly revealed in weakness, humiliation, and death. But through such divine foolishness and weakness, God is working to save us. The center of Paul's preaching is Christ crucified. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength.
Listen, listen, be open, all my heart. Listen, listen, be open, all my heart.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. So making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples then remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And the Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. It's so good to be with you today. Pastor Ryan here on this beautiful Sunday morning. And say, I've got some things I want to talk to you about today.
Ow.
Did you hear that?
Weird. My gosh.
Okay. Ow. So anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about was... Oh my goodness. Lindsay. Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right.
Well, what are you doing?
Oh, well, I was just listening to the reading today and I thought, well, I better get started upholding the Ten Commandments for myself. I just didn't know they'd be so heavy.
Yeah.
So much. Why does God give us so many rules? This is just a lot. Don't mind me. I'm just gonna go over there and play some piano.
Well,
so.
Hold on a second. Why don't you put those down for a second, and rest a little bit. It seems like you're carrying a lot around.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Thanks, P. Rye.
Yeah. Let's just put these down.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Cool. What were you guys talking about?
Well, actually, we were going to start the children's sermon, and I was going to talk about Jesus and, you know, like we usually do.
Yeah, I like Jesus.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of wondering, why are you carrying around the Ten Commandments like this?
Well, I mean, I know that it's important, and God gave us this really special covenant, which is like, you know, a super promise. And I know that they're meant to, you know, help us, but there's just so many, and it just, I don't know, my neck hurts, and I just don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life. It's just a lot. I don't know. Where are yours? Don't you uphold the Ten Commandments too?
Well, you know, the truth is I try to, but sometimes I fail. And that can be really hard to accept, that sometimes we're not going to do everything that we're supposed to.
Mm, well, I could get you this cool Ten Commandments holder. It was like $9.99 on Amazon.
Well, you know, it doesn't look like it's all that fun to carry it around all by yourself.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, God gave us the Ten Commandments not to carry around like we have to do all of these things perfectly in order to be loved by God. God loves us no matter what, whether we do everything right or whether we make mistakes, because the truth is we're going to make mistakes and we're not going to do all of these things perfectly all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps a little bit, but what do we do with them?
Well, these Ten Commandments are actually for how we live in a community together. They're meant to guide us and direct us for how we're to love each other.
Oh, so they're not really an accessory?
No, they're not really an accessory. They're meant to be a guide. They're meant to be rules that are how we love one another.
Oh, okay. Well, because it also tells us how to love God, right?
It does tell us how to love God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of the ways that you can think about it is by keeping these Ten Commandments or upholding them, we love God by how we love each other.
Oh, that sounds way easier than hauling these bricks around for the rest of my life.
It's true, because really what they're about is we carry these Ten Commandments together.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you want to help me carry these out?
I would gladly help you carry them. And then let's remember that we hold the Ten Commandments in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't actually have to carry them around like big tablets.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense, to uphold them here, not here. Ow.
Would you mind if I said a prayer for us before we carry these things out of here?
Yes, please. Pastor Ryan, thank you for helping me. You've really taken a weight off my shoulders.
I don't even know how to follow that up. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for giving us rules for how to love one another. They guide us and they direct us in how we live as a community together. Help us to always remember that these rules are not determining whether you love us or not, for you always love us. Help us to remember then that we are now invited to show this love to others as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Cool.
All right.
Thanks, P-Rye.
Are you ready to carry these things out of here?
Are you? These are really heavy. Let's see. All right, here we go. Ready?
One, two, three.
Oh my gosh. They're not that heavy at all.
No, they're not so bad, right?
It's like magical.
Yeah.
You want to go get a blizzard at Dairy Queen?
I would love to get a blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Cool. Thanks, P-Rye. See you guys next week.
Bye, everybody. Friends, may the love of God and the grace of Christ Jesus be with us now and always. Amen. I'm so glad that you have come back to continue the story, to find ourselves in this story that we've been telling throughout this season of Lent, you'll remember that it began long, long ago, but it is a story of being led in a new direction by a God who has hung up the bow and refuses to be at war with this beloved creation, but instead will seek and strive and give God's very life to renew it and transform it. And this renewal and transformation of all things, it actually began with Abraham and Sarah. And the impossible promise of a child and descendants as numerous as the stars. But it's happening. God is renewing and transforming this world. One person at a time, one people at a time, one step at a time. But as we know all too well, even the best of plans are not without their setbacks or hiccups. Not too much longer after Abraham and Sarah, their descendants, the heirs of this promise of God, were enslaved for hundreds of years. Until they were finally freed by God through Moses. A reminder that God remains committed to seeing this promise through. God remains committed to the renewal and transformation of the world, even when we get in our own way. So now the people of Israel, having been freed to be light to the nations, they are now in search of what it means to be a community with God as their center. So God makes another covenant, a new one, but it's also a continuation of the same covenant. It's still the same covenant of renewal and restoration and transformation, the covenant that began with Noah so long ago. But this covenant will serve as a guide for the people to continue on the path of renewal and transformation. This covenant would serve the people for how we are to live with one another. It would serve the community. We call this covenant the Ten Commandments. And this covenant, these commandments, as much as we might like to think is about how we're to live our lives in the best way, is much more about ensuring the well-being of our neighbors. These commands are not the way that we will finally be loved and acceptable to God. They are not so that we can have our best life. They are for the sake of our neighbors. These commandments teach us what it looks like to love them. But our initial reaction tends to be worry and panic about who will look out for us, who will watch out for us, who will ensure that we are taken care of, who will ensure that we are loved and treated with dignity and respect. But before we get too worked up about all of that, we need to remember that these same commands are given to our neighbors as well. So in other words, God gives us the Ten Commandments to you and to me, so that we may ensure our neighbor's life is taken care of. And God gives these commandments to our neighbors so that they may remember what it looks like and what it means to love us. And the end result is it's this beautiful thing called a community. And it's a community where everyone knows they need not look to their own interests because they know my neighbor's got my back. And my neighbor knows that I have theirs too. It's a community of mutually taking care of one another It's a community that calls us to be selfless. But this story of redemption and renewal and transformation, it isn't quite that simple. Because it's one thing to dream about and envision that kind of community, and it's another to say, well, how are we doing? The truth is, we have this propensity for taking something good and beautiful like the Ten Commandments and turning them into a burdensome weight. Because we're selfish. Because we like to be better. We like to feel as though we're more worthy. And so these commandments, which were intended to free us to love and serve one another in community with one another, these commandments have now become a barrier, a block, a fence, a way of keeping us from being in relationship with God and one another. They have become a measuring stick, a tool for us to determine our own worthiness. And while we're at it, we might as well determine the lack of worthiness of our neighbors. So it becomes a contest. Rather than loving one another, we are busy striving to find ways to measure how we are doing. And we want to comfort ourselves with the knowledge that we think we're doing pretty good, at least better than others. This is the problem that the Gospel of John sees. This is the problem that we face continually today. Long after Moses came down the mountain with those tablets of the Ten Commandments, we find that the covenant, the promise of God, which was intended to free us to live in community with one another, has now become a rigid set of rules and laws, a measuring stick, a point system for us to determine whether we're worthy or not, whether we're deserving or not. We see all of this happening at the temple. To put it simply, when you broke the commands, you had to atone for them. And the only way to atone for them was to offer a sacrifice. And the only place that you could offer a sacrifice was at the temple, because the temple was God's house. It was believed that God literally resided there. God was not anywhere else. God was at the temple. And God specifically resided in something called the Ark of the Covenant, which was a big chest. And inside this chest were the Ten Commandments, as well as a few other things. And this Ark of the Covenant, this chest, was kept in the temple, in a place inside the temple called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was only accessed by the high priests, whose job it was to be in the temple offering sacrifices on our behalf, because we were not worthy to enter such a sacred place. And where the people had to go there to atone for their sins and transgressions because they did not adhere to the law that God gave, which again was intended to be a gift, showing us how to live in community with one another, to be free to live in the new way that God has been preparing. Do you see how quickly this all gets messed up? It's a mess. And it has become a way not of bringing us together, but of separating us. Of separating us from God and from one another. It's become a rat race to see who could live up to the law the best, Who is the most faithful? Who is the most discipling? Who's the best? Because in our minds, we can't get out of this mindset that whoever does the best or whoever does the most must be the most worthy, most deserving, most loved. Our whole society is set up on this meritocracy thinking. But it is not the way of the kingdom of God. The law, which was so graciously given to us to guide us and lead us into loving relationship with one another, instead has become in our minds the way that we will finally be considered worthy of God's love, worthy of God's grace. If we just keep the law perfectly, we will finally be enough in God's eyes. And if we keep the law better than others, if we follow all the rules better than others, we're certainly then feeling better because we're more worthy than them. We'll certainly get into heaven. We'll certainly experience eternal life because we're not maybe the best, but we're better than most. It's like an unspoken point system where following the law earns you more of God's love, and thus you were more faithful, more worthy, more whatever than someone else. But the truth is, this was never what the law was about. It was never what the Ten Commandments were about. It was never what God's covenant was about. The Ten Commandments, the law, the covenant that God makes was about bringing us together into community with the promise of God at the center of all we do. It was never the way to earn our salvation, and it's certainly never been about earning God's love or how many points you can get, because there's no scoreboard. And that's what I think upsets Jesus the most. It's not about the money changers and the sale of sacrificial animals. The marketplace is just a symbol of the larger problem that has plagued humanity and that the temple system had become. The reason that Jesus turns the tables over and drives the marketers out is because the whole system needs to change. Our minds, our way of doing church together, our way of being in relationship and in community together needs to change. So that it isn't about merit. It isn't about worthiness. It isn't about doing all the right things. The whole belief that you or I are any better than someone else and that makes us more worthy or more lovable in the eyes of God or more worthy as recipients of God's grace, that system doesn't exist. And it certainly cannot and will not and does not exist in the kingdom of God. There is only one rule of the house. And that is, we are all desperately dependent and reliant on the grace of God. The covenant that God makes was never about how well we can keep it, because we will fail. God's promise does not rest on how well we can keep it. It is not about earning our way or proving ourselves worthy or faithful enough, because we will fail. And God knows that if this whole journey to restore and renew and transform all things, if it rested on us and our ability to do the right things, it would never happen. The promise that God makes to renew and redeem a broken world rests on the one who can truly fulfill that promise, and that is God, not us. So salvation, eternal life, heaven, all of that, whatever word you want to use, is not ours to earn. It's simply ours to receive and to surround our lives with. And now that we have received such grace, we are called to lay aside every desire to think or prove ourselves better or more deserving than anyone else. We are called to stop the madness by proving ourselves to be worthy, because we're not. Instead, trusting in the grace of God, we are now called to simply get down to living. To get down to living into the fullness of this grace. To get busy with loving one another as God in Christ Jesus has loved us. To stop worrying about the sins and mistakes of other people. To quit holding it against them and saying, well, I'm certainly better than them. You're not. I'm not. We're not. Let us surround ourselves and this community as people who are all in need of this amazing gift of grace. People who have all been given this gift of grace. And then let us seek to love one another, to show one another forgiveness, compassion, grace, to be kind. Because wherever there is a community built on these things like grace and love and mercy and compassion, we start to see it. We start to finally realize that God's promise of renewal and restoration and transformation, it's here. And it is happening. One step at a time. One person at a time. One community at a time. When we stop worrying about how we're doing compared to others, and we instead just show grace to one another, extend love to one another, invite people into to be in relationship and in community with one another. The transformation of this world comes alive. And it comes alive in and through us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fix your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, for the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears for the dawn draws. draws near, and the world is about to turn. Oh, I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and to those who would for you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more, for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. My spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fix your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, for the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears when the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
So together, as a community of faith, as a community who relies and rests on the grace of God as our center, let us confess our faith in God using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Gracious God, your covenant, your promise is sure for all of time, put in place to lead us in the path of abundant life. Assure us of this promise and remind us again that it rests in your goodness and mercy and not our deserving. For it is through your grace and love that this world and all of us will be transformed and brought to the newness of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for this house of worship, for a place to gather in your presence and be reminded of your ongoing gift of grace in our lives. And yet we know that you are everywhere. You you are with us at all times and in all places. Your presence and your love are supporting us, your grace always extending to us. Help us to be mindful of your presence and action in our daily lives, as well as the lives of all we meet. And then call us again to be and to act and live as your people. Bring us once again into loving community with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need this day, and especially those who are caught up in challenging times. For the people of Myanmar, for the people of Ethiopia, and especially those in the Tigray region. People of Texas who continue to deal with the after effects of recent blackouts, for continued healing for the divisions that exist in our country and around the world, and for those who continue to be affected by COVID. May the world be covered in your healing and filled with your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Pray for those in our community in need of your strength and healing. We pray for Stephanie, Tony, and Denise that they may find answers and direction toward healing. We pray for Nadine and Sean and Louise and Bob and Ryan and Jean and Lacey. We pray for Rhonda, Joanne, Marnie, Roger, Carol, Anne, and Virgil. Domingo and Katie, Gary, James, Tracy, Phyllis, Cody, Dick, and Janet. You have brought us into relationship with one another, and you now call us to pray for our friends in their time of need. May the love of this community and the hope we have in you surround them and strengthen them in this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abounding and steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our morning's offering. You can make contributions to the church through our website using the new Tithely app. But during this time, we invite you to reflect, to think about the grace that we have received from God, the community that we have been called to be a part of, and how we may love and serve our neighbors. Thank you. continue now with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast that, renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love, O name of might and favor, all other names above, we worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing.
Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. And so we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people into one body for the sake of the world. Send us in the power of your Spirit that our lives bear witness to the love that has made us new in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. My beautiful friends who are a part of this beautiful community, you are who God has made you to be. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as holy and beloved, freed to serve your neighbor. May God bless you, that you may be a blessing in the name of the holy and life-giving Trinity. Amen. We join in singing our sending hymn.
In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life take me, hopes deceive and fears annoy. Never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love are the radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Pain and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. Peace is
in peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.